Are you leaving or are you on your way back home? Either way, we wanna be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We wanna send you off in style. We wanna welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn. With Karen and Chris. Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
This is Karen Kilgariff.
I thought recently I should have a, like, this is Chris Fairbanks, and then have a name. I was going to say, the handsomest face in podcasting.
Okay.
It's like a playoff of A Face Made for Radio.
Sure.
But I'd go, the handsomest face in podcast. Is it weird to say I'm handsome?
No, because you're insulting yourself by saying it.
Exactly.
So yeah.
See, a lot of people wouldn't see the joke, and then they'd think that I was maybe sure of myself or even confident. Worse, confident.
Yeah, and what a thing to be accused of is to actually think that you might be good-looking.
Ugh, gross.
Gross.
Nope.
Hate
I've just,
you.
People have been saying it, and so I started to, boy, I
People have been telling you you're good-looking?
You know, on Twitter. I'm apparently Twitter handsome also, someone told me. They're looking at one picture. If they could see me now, my face is, it looks like I got stung by bees because I'm so swollen in the face.
But so then you are kind of bragging at the end of the day.
At the very, right before I go to bed, I brag a little bit.
11:59?
Yeah.
This
yeah.
is an 11:59 confessional?
Yes, exactly. That's in the morning, ugh, hate myself.
But Chris, you are a classically good-looking Hollywood face.
There
no
we
one
go.
Could
I
deny
just
it.
Wanted you to say.
Oh, I see.
Classic Hollywood face.
I'm
okay.
Sorry. It should have picked up.
That was the whole reason. Yeah, yeah. That could have been shorter.
You know what? I've never taken improv classes, and that you can really tell when I don't pick up on those.
When you're
clues.
No-anding me up until a certain point, but it's okay. It's okay. We'll do.
I call it giving you the business.
We should just take a 101 class at the Groundlings.
I have $800 that I don't need.
Is that how much that is?
I don't know. It's all seems to be ridiculous. And like, to me, we just did a show the other night at UCB and, the experience going there, being there, the actual show, and then leaving there, I was like, this is just a high school for the arts.
It really is. The new UCB looks like there is hallways. I believe they have lockers. There's a lunchroom.
Yeah.
It very much, but I like that a little because I don't know, if you're a parent and you're dropping off your kid in Hollywood to go to comedy school, at least they'd be like, oh, wow, it looks like a high school.
Sure. That'll comfort any parent.
Yeah, not the back
their,
of a...
For their child.
Yeah, yeah.
But me being over 40, I just have no business being there, and I keep forgetting that. And then I go do a show there, and I'm like, oh, there's a reason I shouldn't be here. I'm too old, and I don't like it.
I keep forgetting that oftentimes you're just performing for the students there.
Right.
That's the thing.
And I keep forgetting we're not in love anymore.
I used to be in love.
Oh, when?
I know you held the fake mic for me to do, but I'm not very good at Michael
you
McDonald.
You can't do the high part? Okay. That's as
good as I get.
Should we talk for a second about how we're picking up Joe DeRosa?
Yes, we are going to LAX to pick up Joe DeRosa.
We're picking up Joe DeRosa, good friend of mine. One of my closer friends, I'd say. He's not happy right now because we're late. I'm late. I made Chris late.
It's okay. I'll take the blame. I'll take 50% of the blame.
You know what? That's what teamwork is.
Yeah.
Taking blame you don't deserve.
That's right.
That's beautiful.
You know what? Because I don't want to taint your relationship with him. I just have only been recently getting to know him. I'll take I'll take 70%.
Oh my God, really? Yeah. You're gonna shoulder the majority of this blame.
From the get go, I'm just gonna say it's mostly my fault.
I think it'll be, you know what? Nobody likes to wait at the airport. I understand his irritation.
Right.
Whatever. When he gets in, we're gonna give him the ride of a lifetime.
Exactly.
And so it'll be fine.
He's gonna be back there gripping the seats in fear. That's the kind of ride.
Yes.
The ride of a lifetime sounds like we're going to drive like lunatics.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, well,
I'm going to drive him off the road. Wow. Seriously?
Yeah.
Okay, all the cabs have gone insane. I'm sorry about Lyft and Uber, you dicks.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not my fault.
Cabs drive angrily thinking about Lyft and Uber all day now, and they only are at the airport.
It's like arriving flights. They're like, they're like the kind of not that pretty girl when two new pretty girls move into town and start going to their high school.
Yeah, or stepsisters when you're the new adopted sister.
Yes.
That's the same example. I didn't need to come up with a second one.
No, you know what? It just helps make clear. There's some people listening to this, and you know who you are, who don't get it.
They didn't go to school. They didn't know what it was like to not be popular. They were homeschooled.
The homeschoolers need several explanations.
So
I
try to do family ones that are more familiar to those people that were homeschooled.
Smart.
Yes.
Or like, it would be like if you had granola and suddenly there was cranberries in it when before then there had only been slivered almonds.
Now you lost me. You lost me.
Oh, shoot.
That's okay. But I am hungry now.
I'm hungry too.
We are going, is it Delta or United? Isn't
it is Delta.
It's funny how those, I always confuse the two. We
Delta
will be
and
on
United.
The other side,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So
yes.
I don't know why.
This area.
Why do I confuse those two? They're same number of letters. That's about all they have in common.
Delta and United. I think they're both old, too. They're like old style.
Yes. I always confuse two men named Earl and Merv, too.
Oh,
because
they're so old?
They're old people.
I read the other day, it was some old-fashioned advertisement, and the name they used in it was Nan, and I couldn't stop laughing, because no one's named Nan anymore.
No.
Or will be again.
Isn't that, I have Dagwood Bumstead's wife? No, he called her Han. H-O-N.
Her name was, yeah, Han.
Yeah.
That's what my grandma used to call
us. He was very aggressive. I think, was it Dagwood? No, I'm thinking of Andy Capp.
Oh, Andy Capp, the old Scottish drunk.
Yeah, he was abusive, he was drunk, he'd come home.
But he called his wife Pet.
Pet? Yes. Oh, you're right.
Yeah, that I used to enjoy.
He was condescending.
But she would beat him up with a rolling pin, so.
Oh, wow.
Don't worry about Pet.
I guess he wasn't taking face-first naps on the couch. He was knocked unconscious.
Yeah, that's right. He had a lot of serious brain damage because of her
abuse.
Andy
Capp was abused.
It
no
goes
one talks
both ways.
About that.
I mean,
really
back
is.
Then you were allowed, couples, it was like their business if they wanted to abuse the shit out of each other.
Yeah, back then.
Back then. I'm going to text
Did
Joe
you,
and just say we're moments away.
Yes, yes.
But my phone is, oh, I see.
It's... Speaking of abuse, everyone was all excited about this boxing match yesterday.
Oh, right.
And I just didn't care once someone said, oh, yeah, Mayweather, he beats up his girlfriends. No one even talked about it. Is this the Chris Brown version where you can just do it?
Oh, I
and that
like
doesn't matter?
It's all that was on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. Well, it wasn't until the day of the fight on Twitter that people were saying, oh, yeah, he punches his girlfriends.
They did.
And then Pacquiao hates... Gay people. He's like a Catholic guy, so I don't care about either of them.
Right.
I wanted them to simultaneously knock each other out like Apollo Creed and Rocky.
that kind of stuff goes on in sports in general all the time. So I think people get sensitive when each individual thing happens. But, you know, there was like the video of the guy just punching his girlfriend in the elevator. It just, ugh. Men on steroids is not good.
No.
We'll accept it someday. It's not going to happen anytime soon. But
the scariest one that I think the guy's going to prison. I'm pretty sure he is. There's this MMA guy. He was like called the murder machine or something. And he was dating a porn star, of course. But she didn't even look like a person he beat her so severely. It's like, well, he was a scary MMA guy. You look at the picture, it's like, oh, it seems like all he would do is that.
You just rolling up. What are you doing?
What are you doing?
You can't go in there.
He doesn't understand.
Sorry, that was real screaming. Sorry
That's
about
okay.
that.
That's okay. Really we mad. May have peaked a little.
Sorry.
I'll just go back.
There's a guy that just rolled in front of us, slowed down, and was going to
and
enter.
And now he's rolling away. He didn't like where he slowly went, so he's slowly going somewhere better.
He is the worst, and he's driving my exact car.
Ugh, that guy will make you hate a fit. Uh-oh.
Delta here.
Oh, okay.
But we... Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Good. This person's a lunatic,
Fuck
too.
Fuck you.
Why is everyone crazy?
That guy's a dick because he's driving a really fancy BMW.
I'm sorry. This is
a cab.
Now we're honking. This is, LAX is just one of these places where something happens to me, and I get a knot in my stomach, and this is one of those situations where we're late, and that cab. Look, I can't even form a sentence. I'm so stressed.
It's really pretty stressful. But you know what? Then once we get out of this area, it's almost like when someone holds your arms down and you press up against them, it feels like your arms are floating.
Yes, it's the classic Titanic bow of the boat, or the calm after the storm, the quiet after the calm. There he is.
Yep. He saw us too.
And won't make it. He's angry. I hope he's not upset. There
he
is.
He's fine. He's
Here
on
he
the phone.
Oh, he's just talking. He's talking to folks. He's almost here. The back is ready for him.
Is this unlocked? Unlocked?
It is
unlocked.
Indeed.
Unlocked.
It is indeed.
Okay, good. Hi.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
Hi.
Gonna smash anything?
Nope. Is this thing back there?
Yes.
Hi, friend.
Hi, Joe.
I'm sorry we're
Here's
so late.
Here's a mic for you.
How are you both?
Hate to make you wait like that.
I'm sure it's tearing you up inside.
It's. I'm gonna take half the blame. I'm gonna take half of it.
Okay.
Sorry, Karen. Earlier I said it was.
I always said that because when I called, you answered the phone. You went, "We're on our way." Sorry, I know you are.
I'm just letting you know, I'm not happy about it.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't giving you shit. I was. I just didn't know what lane to stand in.
Oh, right, because all those people.
Yeah, you do have an interesting timetable conversion.
I am not a punctual person, and you're right. I'm also not repentant, really, in the least.
That's fine.
Or I would change it.
That's fine.
Yeah, but it's like so far down on my list of problems that I have that I just can't. I got to fix some other shit first.
That's fine. We all have our things that we need to work on.
You know I love you, Joe.
I just realized one of the only things I do right is being on time.
Is that true?
That's one of the only... I've been patting myself on the back today.
Well, have just you? Gonna,
yeah, yeah.
How are you doing, man?
Ah, pretty good. How are you doing?
I haven't
doing?
Seen you since that night at my house.
That was a fun night at your house.
Woo!
I wasn't there.
Well, it was the night I got to know Joe. We were my roommate Nate Craig was there.
I told you about this, Karen.
We
left a bar at 2 a.m.
Oh.
I had just met Chris. And Nate said, "Can Chris come?" I said, "Sure." I didn't know who he was. And then I was like, "Oh, wait, you're Chris Fairbanks."
Right? Yeah, we've seen each other a few times, but never really
Did you think
fully
he was classically good-looking?
Embraced.
After I was close to him in the kitchen, I did.
Okay, good.
After a few whiskeys in the kitchen.
Right. It takes.
Close.
That's what it takes for most people. And you have to keep the word podcast in there. I'm podcast handsome.
Oh, podcast.
That's what I wanted. I want that to be my new handle.
Podcast handsome?
Yeah, yeah. It's like a classic face for radio, that joke my dad used to say. But it's... you know what? I'm going to bail on it.
That's my favorite of your dad's old routines.
Yeah, that was that and the old pulling his pants up and falling downstairs on purpose, which he did a number
of
times.
But can I ask, had you guys done a show together? You were just partying like stand-up comedians like to?
Oddly, no. I saw you, Joe, at Cabin when I did... In New York, I did Cabin, and I was like, "Hi." And then that's all.
I remembered after you mentioned that, meeting you there. No, the night that we... But you mean the night that we hung out, were we doing a show?
Yes.
It was the...
What I'm saying is, why wasn't I invited, essentially?
It was the rap party for Riot Fest.
That's what it was. We had our own rap party.
Oh, I left early.
Oh, yeah. No, it was a bar. Yeah.
Ran into each other at that bar, but I didn't get there till like 1:15, and it was like wrapping up, and I was mad because I had to escape reality that I didn't get shit-faced.
Right.
So I was like, will anybody come to my house and get shit-faced starting now with me? And Nate Craig and Chris and James Adomian stepped up to the plate.
Sweet. That's a nice combination.
It was very fun.
Yeah, it was very fun.
It was very fun. So I would have invited you had we're not 2:30. I think we arrived at my place at 2:30.
And also, had it not been a boys only, no girls allowed party.
Yeah,
sorry, Karen.
Full on sausage party.
Well, that's the first thing we did, and it had like a backwards S, no girls allowed, and we flipped the sign and we put it on the front, like a clubhouse.
I can relate to that.
Yeah.
I get it.
So this is the podcast. Like, what's the...
Yeah. This is it.
This is where the magic happens.
If your expectations were higher...
No.
I didn't mean that as a criticism.
I just mean, like, this is it. We're doing it.
We're doing it.
Yeah, we don't have much of a format. We're not going to say, did you do your prepared topic material? Did you prepare it? I mean, rather. See, I can't even... This is one of the podcast things. A lot of times I can't even talk, you know, depending on how much sleep I've not had. And I didn't sleep a lot last night.
What were you doing?
I went to the West Side Theater in Santa Monica. And then afterwards, there's two reasons I drink after shows. If the show goes well, I have drinks. And if it goes terrible, I have drinks.
Yeah.
So if I have like a mediocre show, I usually am healthy afterwards.
Well, what was last night?
Last night I had a good show.
So you had drinks?
Yes, with the other comedians.
What comedians did you drink with?
There were a lot of West Side. It's one of the guys was the guy who runs the West Side Theater, Chris Gorbos, he's like an improv guy.
He's a nice guy.
He's a great guy. He did stand up, and it was his birthday, and he had good jokes.
That's great.
Nice.
Had a good time. Played darts with some other dudes that I had just met. A guy got in my face. I almost got in a fight. Over darts. I walked by. I knew it was dumb to walk in front of the dartboard. He threw it anyway. I stared at him for a while. He was a lot larger than me. I just kept staring at him. I was not smiling. And then he got up in my face. He got his fucking meat hooks.
Okay.
On my shoulders.
Okay.
And I said, hey, get to the, you know, I'm not in the mood. I changed my tune.
Oh, good.
I'm a pussy.
I understand.
I'm a pussy.
Well.
Good for you, though. Good for you to stand up to that guy.
Yeah, I stared. I did my best at standing up to him.
I do that. I do a stare. I run my mouth, man.
Yeah.
Like I run my mouth like a guy's girlfriend in a movie theater does. Like, there's, like, as if there's, like, a man there that's going to fight for me. And I don't know how I've not had my face beaten. And I have it coming to me. Certainly, I deserve a good beating at this point in my life.
You'll get one. Don't worry. You'll get one day.
It's been a few years, but it has happened to me where I just realized there's a place for my comedy and there's a place not for it. And the times I've really bombed is when it's in the street and someone is punching me. That's when I know I've had a horrible show.
You've made the
horrible one man show. Yeah.
Wait, Joe, where were you just now? Where did we just pick you up from coming from?
I was in the great city of Madison.
Madison.
Oh,
Wisconsin.
Nice.
Yeah, it was a comedy club on State in Madison.
Great club. I love that
club. Very nice club.
Low ceilings, you're in a corner, stone walls, smart people.
Yes.
Nice town.
Yeah, everything was good about the gig. The crowds were good. In fact, I'll take the time now to make a public thank you. To the club. Thank you for a great weekend. Great room. Great staff. Great owners. Great crowds. Great shows. Great town.
Wow.
I like that club because a family owns it. Like, the daughters run it, and the parents just kind of put. I don't know what they do. They show up and support. Well, it was my birthday when I worked there, and they surprised me with a cake. No one's ever done that.
Nice
surprise. Nice. We knew it was your birthday, and I walked in the room and.
Because they got your tax information.
It was, yeah, that's what it is. It's my social security number.
It was an amazingly nice club. They have a great in-house system where they can record all your shows, which is awesome.
Wow.
And they, the second night, or the last night, rather, it was, I was, like, in between shows, I was like, man, I'm hungry, and I got to go get some food, and one of the girls that runs the place was like, oh, I have a bunch of sandwiches coming, sit tight. She got like this tray of like catered Jimmy John sandwiches.
Yeah, classy.
Yeah, and she's like, come in the office. She like brought me in for my own eating session, which was nice.
Yeah.
I didn't have to eat with everybody else.
They are the best that way.
I just realized, I never knew before, but that's what I've been waiting for all my life, is for someone to bring me into a private eating session.
Yeah, just guided.
That's everything.
Let's bring you into our session room. It's just down this hallway.
This is how much we love you.
By the way, you really will be special in here alone.
It's yeah, so were you good ever, like, on set for something where, like, I was on set for something once and, like, the background actors went and got at lunch, like, when they put it out, and then they got reprimanded, and they were like, the crew has to eat first, guys.
Yeah.
I felt so bad for the background actors. It was like, they didn't know, and I feel so stupid right now. So I was the opposite of that last night. She was
you
like,
were the
you,
crew.
Yeah, she's like, you'll eat first.
That, even though you feel rested bad. Looking down on the background actors, it kind of feels good to walk by them and get your food first and then stare at them all.
I mean,
and then eat in front of them.
Human beings love a class system.
Yeah, they do.
Casts.
No matter what end on it, because for them it's motivating.
Right? Like,
I want to be Joe DeRosa someday. Yeah. Look at him eating first.
Look at him eat that sandwich.
Plus, he's making more than $175 a day.
It's. Is it $175 a day?
That's a good. I mean, that's pretty good, right?
That would be great.
I was on a Western.
So it probably isn't money then.
Yeah, I think it's like 100, right?
There's a Western I was in Austin that it was called American Outlaws. It had like.
Man, that's such an original title.
Yeah, it was so. And it was them.
Was it
trying
about bad guys and stuff?
It was about Billy the Kid, or I don't know. I forget everything. There was Pinkertons in it.
Oh, cool.
And anyway, the director had only directed Flubber.
That's like a real movie. That's a real movie director.
And I used his nice, clean porta potty because the other one was down by the extras holding area. It was like 125 degrees. It was 115 one day. They made T-shirts. It was 115 degrees. I got bit by a scorpion. Anyway,
Hurt?
It hurt so... I laughed. I couldn't believe how bad it hurt. I'm like, oh, I'm getting stung by a bee. And then it just got more and more intense, and to where I just had to giggle, because I don't know what to do when something hurts that bad. And then I pulled the pants down. They were shooting. All of a sudden, in the background, someone yanks their pants down. I didn't have period underwear. They were purple, so they had to cut. And then I pulled out, and this little tiny white scorpion... It was tiny.
Oh, that's bad.
And this guy crushed it with a rock. He's like, you really have to... And I'm like, easy, you're overdoing it. And he crushed it, and it was all mangled. We looked away for a second. It had crawled away. They are such a weird little prehistoric little guy.
They're built to live.
But
that's bad. Small is bad with scorpions.
Yeah, and I didn't know.
Because they have more poison or something?
Yeah.
I learned that from Indiana Jones in the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
That must be where I got
it. What can't you learn from that movie?
He says that when it comes to scorpions, the bigger the better.
Yeah.
And I believe that's probably factual.
That's
I don't
what
think
they
just made it up.
When it stung me and I thought I was overreacting and scared, I thought they killed you, by the way. I was like, well, this is it. The scorpion was just in my pants. We had just been taken off this cattle truck.
Horrifying.
Anyway, and then they wouldn't give me Benadryl or anything. They're like, you might be allergic. I got bit by a scorpion. Anyway, and then I went to the porta potty, and it was Flubber director's porta potty, and I almost got kicked off set until I reminded them of the potential scorpion lawsuit.
Yes.
And then I was fine. That's the end of my long story.
That was pretty good.
I liked it. I liked it.
Wait, that made me think, though.
But $175 a day, yeah. That's what we got paid back then.
It
that
made
was
me
the old
think.
Days.
Joe is just on Better Call Saul.
Yes.
I want to see that.
It's so good. It's such a good... It's.
Just can you describe your character on it, or is it not coming out yet?
No, it's out.
It's out. I can talk about it.
Yeah.
Do it. Talk
you
about
want
it, because I'm
things,
so excited.
Karen, thank you.
Of course.
I play a... I play like a dirty veterinarian...
Mm-hmm.
like a crooked one or an unclean, like a
filthy
filthy veterinary.
Yeah, this prequel series centers more around hygiene than crime. Now it's I play like this sort of crooked veterinarian who there's a spoiler alert if you haven't seen it yet, whatever. But like Mike comes to me and says like. he needs me to help him sew up a bullet wound or something, and I say, like, hey, man, if you're looking for work, wink, wink. And he's like, nah, I don't want that kind of work. And then he comes back to me later, and he's like, you know, do you still know those people? Because I need some work. So, and then they mentioned me in another episode where a guy goes, the vet always hires good people.
That's great. So, do you think that maybe because they mentioned you again, it might be a reoccurring thing? Are you just hoping
I
for that?
I hope so. I hope so. It's, you know, it's one of those shows where everything's pretty under hard wraps, you know? So,
it was so.
I don't know.
It was surprising to me, though, because a couple key people had mentioned how much they liked it. But I really thought it would blow up on Twitter being a Breaking Bad sequel or prequel. So I figured kind of subconsciously something must be wrong with it because people aren't talking about it that much.
Right.
And someone told me, like, no, it's amazing. Like, you have to watch it. It's amazing.
It's terrific.
And, yeah. And from the second the first episode started, I was like, this is... like a beautiful masterpiece.
Wow, that's yeah. Well, it's cool to be part of something yeah. like that. That people,
I'm gonna watch you on it tonight.
I'm excited about it. I haven't had a ton of acting work, but the stuff I've been in has been really cool stuff. So I feel very privileged. That
yeah, that's
yeah.
the cool part
things.
Of getting acting work as a comedian because it's just I can do that. I guess that Plan B thing
right.
that people strive for. And then you get a great gig like that that all these trained Juilliard dorks never get to do.
I went to Juilliard. So. No, I didn't.
It was the gig that I wanted to go find my acting teacher, one particular acting teacher I had in college, and be like, see? Because he told me once that I was too one note and that I needed to expand whatever and that basically like really shit on me at like the most vulnerable time in my life where you're like, were you going to your teacher and you're being like, am I any good at this? Like, do I, like, I don't know. Like, I'm a college kid. Like, should I keep doing this or not? Because I can't get booked in any of the school plays because I'm not a theater major.
Well,
and
what?
They only book the theater majors. So, like... You know, you're just looking for any sort of reassurance
yeah.
that, like, maybe you should keep at it. Because the teachers were, not all of them, but many of them in my school were surprisingly unnurturing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because they're all, it's the old, those who can't do teach thing. That I always had a huge problem with that because it's these people that they are loving, lording, pretending that they are experts over people who wouldn't know better when in reality and when you get older you realize clearly if they were in this small town near my parents' house
yeah.
they probably weren't that good at acting.
Right.
It was so easy
right.
to see it. When I was in art school I had these painting classes and the teacher they would say, you know, try and critique what I was doing and it was hard for them because I'd be like, oh, no, I've seen your paintings.
Yeah.
They're in your office. You're a terrible artist. I don't want to listen to what you have to say at all. You do those weird stretched out horses, blurry horses. You're a horrible painter. Marion Bongiorni. Yeah.
Uh-oh, name check.
Okay.
That's a straight up name
check.
There
we go. Yeah.
So funny. I was proud of myself that I didn't name the person that you just went and did.
Go there.
Now I feel like a pussy.
That was not even the teacher that's just whose paintings I was describing. The guy, a totally different teacher, but they can all go to hell.
I also just love the note of you're too one note where it's like, have you seen any Hollywood movie with any actors?
Yeah, what?
Like Keanu Reeves, Tom Cruise.
The only movie you have to be multiple noted for is like a Bollywood film where you, like, you're a villain in this first scene, and then you got to break into a song and dance.
Yeah. Right?
And then then we go to the romantic interlude.
Yeah. It's possibly the worst note you could give an aspiring actor is don't try not to be typecast.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
No, that actually will get you work.
That's how it
yeah.
works in Hollywood,
yeah.
literally.
Oh, you mean like that unknown De Niro guy did in the beginning?
yeah.
Well,
so
I don't know.
That was like one of my, what I would call my sulking credit. You know, I remember
yeah.
I wrote a one-act play in college, too. And I wanted to, I mean, talk about a bunch of fucking... months, right? I wanted to produce the one act play that I wrote in the fucking who gives a shit black box theater.
Yeah.
You know what
that
I mean?
That sacred space?
It would cost them no money.
Right.
I just want it, like, give me a week where I can do my thing here.
And you weren't,
they,
no support.
They met about it. The teachers all met,
oh,
and they said
God's
no.
Oh, for God's sake.
And wow. They said no. And when I got my, when I worked on Wet Hot American Summer, I wanted to fly to each of them. And be like, do you see that I'm a professional writer now? Fuck you. It made me so fucking mad.
But man. There are those, and I'll be the irritating person who says it.
Yeah.
The reason that you're on Wet Hot American Summer is because those people didn't see what you had to offer, and it it gave you that gas to get you even further.
Yeah, that's
you're
the
right.
Same reason I wish my dad had hit me.
Yes.
Do you know how successful of a comedian I would be if he wasn't so goddamn supportive my whole life?
Yeah.
And Karen, I like that you went Henry Rollins with that.
You know, I made out with Henry Rollins one time.
What?
Yeah.
What was that like?
Black Flag Henry Rollins?
It was for a sketch. So let's just actually qualify it in reality.
Okay.
What was the sketch?
It was when I worked on Zach Galifianakis' talk show for 3 months.
Hey, I remember that.
And Henry Rollins was a guest. I was playing Zach's mother, so they had me, I had like big, crazy, basically 50s mom hair and like a 50s cocktail dress on, and Zach's trying to like kiss up to Henry Rollins, and then I come out of the house all drunk, and like, Zach, get in here, whatever. He's like, Mom, stop embarrassing me, and then me and Henry Rollins just make out, and he like laid me down. We were on the front porch of this house, and he literally laid me down, like, we made out. They finally called cut. And he stood up and goes, you've done that before. And I'm like, fuck you. Like, I was A, acting, and B, just kissing you back. Like, don't stand up and call me a slut.
That guy, he just judges people. He's like, if anyone ever had a drink, he's like, well, you do that every day, don't you? Like, that's the kind of guy he is. He's a reformed, straight-edgy type guy.
I'm a big Black Flag fan. Of the Rollins years.
You were one letter away from really causing a problem on this podcast.
Yeah, black and then almost saying another slur. Or not that black's a slur. You know what I mean.
It depends on how you're yelling it.
We're in L.A. Everything's dangerous to say
That's
out here.
True.
I tweeted, I was very proud of this tweet at the airport this morning. There was a coffee called Black Thunder.
I saw that.
And I said this coffee place named one of their brews after Keith Robinson. Very, very proud of that tweet. Simple fun.
That guy's so funny.
But I'm a big... He's hilarious.
He's so funny.
But I'm a big... I almost said I'm a big Keith Robinson fan. I am. I'm a big Black Flag fan, but he is very... as much as I want to meet Henry Rollins, he's very... I saw a video of him once on YouTube. It's not a very old video.
Doing stand-up?
No, he's like in the back. It's funny you say that, Karen, because here's the weird part. When he does his like spoken word stand-up stuff, he seems like such a jovial, like approachable guy.
Yeah.
And he's got a great sense of humor. He makes fun of himself. Then you get him into an interview, and he gets like... fucking intense eyes, and you're like, where did the fun guy go?
Yeah.
Well, I bet you know? It's because he gets nervous and he wants people to take him seriously. It's that deadly thing. Comics do the same exact thing all the time.
Right.
Where like 1 ounce of fame or like a paneling on something or whatever, and suddenly they're the most like airless, boring person in the world because people just want to be taken seriously and they think that's how you do it instead of like continuing to be kind of awesome and real.
Yeah.
They tighten up their assholes.
They have.
Yeah, totally.
There's a music festival here in LA called the Fuck. Is it Fuck Yeah Fest?
Mm-hmm.
FYF? Yeah, and they have comedy at it. Or they did a couple years ago. And so we were able to go see shows and like stand backstage, which was neat. I really wanted to see Dinosaur Jr. And we got to hang out.
I was with you.
And then, so we saw Henry Rollins. Like, oh, maybe you weren't there.
I wasn't there.
Because Henry Rollins was cartoonishly in the background enjoying Dinosaur Jr., which I didn't expect. I thought maybe Dinosaur Jr. maybe would have a history of not being hardcore enough for him to like him, I guess. But he was like he was smiling and dancing and like getting super excited.
Nice.
He's way into. And then afterwards, the guy, Tyler. God, what's his name? I don't know. Photographer.
Tyler, the creator?
Yeah. Tyler, the Dan the Automator with him. He's taking photos of these guys. And so I'm just standing there with Jay Maskus from Dinosaur Jr. And Henry Rollins. And then And then he goes, "What are you doing here?" Like, kind of like, "Why are you standing here? What do you want?"
I was like, Rollins said that, or Jay
Maskus? Yeah, yeah. Henry Rollins. Jay Maskus said nothing. He's kind of was creeping me out. But I said, "Oh, I'm a comedian. I'm doing comedy in the and he'd like, "Well, I sure would like to do that." And it was so weird to me. It's like, oh, you know, you probably could.
Yeah.
You probably just,
anywhere you want.
And they go,
you could just walk on during any show.
Exactly. No, he was like, "Well, who would I talk to about
that?"
And I said, "Oh, yeah, this guy Ryan McNiniman. I could get you his info." And then that's pretty much my story. But I walked away thinking, I'm not going to fucking book Henry Rollins. And he can figure it out himself. So I didn't get them together.
Yeah, well,
but he did ask me to be the go-between. I guess I'm kind of bragging.
I think we all are today.
But we all
are. I started it.
Yeah, Karen made out with Henry Rollins.
I always forget that fact and what real power that fact wields. I never tell anybody.
Yeah.
That's why I pulled it out of the hat.
And why'd I pull mine out? Because you already had made out with him. Like, mine's just a conversation.
Listen, that's what podcasting is. It's just
a conversation contest?
It's all a contest.
It's all a contest. I'm thinking about discontinuing my podcast.
Why?
No, I'm serious. I'm not trying.
This podcast reminded you, maybe.
It just made me think of that. No, because of what you just said, because of the contest. I'm kind of thinking of just stopping it.
Yeah.
I just got onto the network, the same network you guys were on.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I started doing one with Kurt Braunohler. We do it, like, sporadically and release it through our respective podcasts.
What's that called, just in case people
It's called Emotional
do?
Hangs. And it's about it's about Kurt and I as adult men, like, in real time, exploring our friendship developing, like,
nice.
As two grown men, and vulnerability, and, like, when two grown men aren't scared to be a little vulnerable. So, it's fun. We talk about, like, we'll be like, you know, like, one of the things once was, like, you know, you sent me a text. I gave Kurt a pep talk because he was feeling down on the road. Then he sent me a text, and he's like, "I love you, buddy." And I was like, "Kurt, I wanted to say I love you, but too, so bad, but I was scared."
Yeah.
And he was like, "I probably would have made fun of you because I'm not comfortable with it, but I do love you." Like, it's stuff like that.
Yeah, with that situation, I feel like I'm being set up. I just get 12 years old. I rarely say I love you back, but
it's a Jackass prank where you say it, and then they just take that audio recording.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed, like, when I started doing that one, I was like, man, this is really fun, and I feel like there's a purpose to this podcast.
Yeah.
It just made me look at mine after a year and a half of doing it, and I just kind of was like, oh, Christ, who cares? Does anybody need to hear me, like, discuss anxiety?
Yeah, but I did your podcast, and I really liked it.
Because
you did, like, you wrote a lot for it, so all the topics, it wasn't your average podcast where, like, today we're going to blah, 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 and then it's just dudes talking. Like, you wrote essays about the topic. I thought it was very, like, pointed and good.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's...
I got to get back into doing that. I've gotten, like... When I had to do solo ones, I stopped, which I started having to do a lot because it's impossible to book guests.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Especially when you're late to pick them up all the time.
Yeah. I swear I was giving
about
you
ourselves.
About the time thing. You didn't think I was giving you
no,
shit.
No, 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 I know.
No.
Please, let's not do this again.
Please,
let's not break up again.
We're right on the verge of breaking up again. Joe and I have been going through some rocky times lately.
Oh,
here's
you guys,
the thing.
I didn't know you guys were an item.
No, we're not.
Oh, I didn't know that.
We're like a friendship breakup.
We're a friendship
almost.
Item.
Oh, I got you.
A lot of people want to be just like us friendship-wise. But Joe and I are like, I just told this to Georgia Hardstark. My favorite thing about my friendship with Joe, which started because we worked on Pete Holmes' show together.
Oh, you worked on that show? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. That's where Karen and I met.
Joe is the kind of guy that after a party or a hangout will call you the next day to talk about it, which is my favorite thing to do in the world. And these days, no one, even girls, don't really do anymore. It's like maybe you'll get like a text of like, "That was crazy," or talk about one thing. But like Joe will go over it piece by goddamn piece. And that's my favorite thing to do.
I love it.
It's
I love that
so
you
fun.
Love doing that. I can always count on you to go down the whole list. And I mean, I'm talking about, Chris, we're talking about, like, did you see what she was wearing?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Stuff like that's
that
in there.
That was the example I was just going to throw out. Did you
see
someone you see so-and-so's shoes.
That is 100% been said.
Yes.
Did you see what she was wearing? What is she, crazy?
Meanwhile, I've been wearing the same clothes 4 or 5 years, well, but I have no problem
saying
that.
I want to do it with you, Joe. Okay, the night I hung out at your place, what was up with Adomian just laying on the couch that whole time, kind of slouched back? He never stood up. There, see, that's my example of
yeah.
He did not. He laid
did
down.
Did he do that?
Yeah, yeah. He laid
I'll
down.
I'll tell you one thing I like about James, and James and I are friends. And I would say I know James as about as I talk to you, Karen. I talk to you more, but I know James in the same way that I know you. Where it's like we kind of met doing stand up.
Yeah.
We haven't known each other time wise a terribly long amount of time. But, you know, like, we're friends. You know what I mean? It was like kind of a fast friend kind of thing where I'm like, yeah, I like this guy.
Yeah, me too. He used to live in a house with all the Midnight Show guys, that sketch show at UCB.
Right.
And that's I was there often sleeping there because of my drinking.
Yeah, it's fine. It's okay. Yeah. We're all pulling
And he
you.
Has these brothers that are kind of like these O'Doyle Rules type dudes.
I know. Isn't that
They're
funny?
They're kind of like tough guys. But one of them really looks and sounds like him. And I was on the couch, and I thought James had come in late at night, and he sat down, and I can't remember what I was spilling my guts about, and he was just like, and I look over, and it wasn't James, it was his brother that I'd never met before, that I just saw him almost getting a fight with.
That is such, would be such an awesome Seinfeld. I didn't know they sound the same. And he tells him some crazy secret. Oh, that's such a good Seinfeld premise. The thing I love about James is now, I talk to Karen. Karen, you and I talk a lot.
Mm-hmm.
James and I rarely talk on the phone or anything like. We never talk on the phone, but I don't see him a ton. But when I do see him, it's right back where we left it off, which I appreciate about him. So
yeah, that's great.
He will lay on the couch because he's comfortable.
That's what it was. He was comfortable. I was pacing around.
You were pacing around like a lunatic.
I was. That's what that was about. Him laying on the couch.
Made
is
you
me,
pace?
Yeah, it's holding up a mirror to my anxiety of having just met a new person. Not knowing where the bathroom was. I remember I had to go to the bathroom. I was too worried about asking. I didn't know how
basic
we'd...
Basic facilities.
How I'd get home. It was late. I was intimidated because you have a nice car, and I have not a nice car.
I don't have that car anymore.
It was a beautiful car. I liked it.
It was a very
pretty Challenger.
Car. It was a Dodge Challenger, but it wasn't a good day-to-day car, so I traded it for like a good day-to-day car.
What's your day-to-day car?
I have a Jeep Liberty Limited.
Balance. Limited.
Yeah.
And it's very nice. Sunroof, windows all around.
What color?
Black.
Sweet.
It's funny that limited
it
with
bumps.
Cars.
It's got some good speakers in it.
So oh, sweet.
It's a great, like, hip-hop car. It's a great, like, West Side Connection car, which I like quite a bit.
Did you ever drive down to the LBC?
No.
For some drama?
I got drama. I got all the drama I need in my house.
Okay.
You know? Yeah. You know, I don't need any more drama. I want to go to Compton and go to that barbecue place in Compton. There's like a famous... It's called a...
Just the one?
There's one that's like... across the board rated the best barbecue place in L.A. All the reviews are like, I'm from Texas and it's the shit.
Do you know the name?
No, I can't think of the name, but they have like a sandwich or a burger that is also 15 feet. Feet. Look at me. I'm not even doing 1 foot, and I said 15. It's about a foot tall.
It's about a foot
tall?
Yeah,
it towers. It, like, leans over.
That's cool.
But
hamburger?
It was mostly barbecue, and it was in a part of L.A. that I felt nervous in, but we had cameras and stuff. It was for that Fuel show, and we were just talking, and they were the sweetest people ever, but I did get sick.
You got sick?
Yeah, it tasted great.
Why did you get sick, though?
I don't know. Some chicken touched some pork, They had a B rating. I'm not blaming it on that. I'm glad I haven't said the name.
Yes.
A lot of the people there would kill me for a dollar. The employees.
That's racist.
But no, it isn't. They were these German guys that worked in the kitchen. They were Germans.
Oh, they shipped in some Germans to make barbecue?
Yeah, so you're racist.
That's the place I'm talking
you're
about.
You're racist.
You are.
Chris.
It's not the same place.
We're talking about different places.
Yeah, oh. I was like, I'm talking about the McRib coming back into Compton.
I love a McRib. I saw the billboard once, and I had to stop and get it immediately.
Did you?
I love the McRib.
I've never had one.
It's delicious. It's McDonald's doing a barbecued pork sandwich. I mean, how could it be bad?
It's because they pour it into a mold, and there's fake the shape, like Flintstones cartoonish bones in it. But they aren't bones. They're just like, hey, it's kind of shaped like the way you'd think ribs would be shaped, right?
They've sort of fallen off of that thing in recent years. It's more of just like a pork patty now.
Oh, okay.
Because people got creeped out by the shape.
Probably.
Yeah, it wasn't fooling anyone.
Yeah. It's delicious.
I can eat bones now. This is the best.
Yeah, it's a great sandwich, man. I'm devastated about the news that McDonald's is having hard times. I love McDonald's. I will support it till the day
financially.
I die.
Financially. Wow. They're financially having hard times. Why is that so hard for me to believe?
They lost... Their profit margin was down like... It was an insane... I'm pulling a number out of my ass right now, but it was like literally like $300 million or so. Like, there are like 35 McDonald's locations that are going to close.
Why? Is there a reason for it? Are people generally health conscious?
I think everyone's getting so... People are just starting to realize they're killing themselves. I mean, it's such a... People are really unhealthy, I say, being one of the leaders of that group. That food is so awful. It's not just like standardly bad of like, I shouldn't eat this fried chicken sandwich. It's like they put sugar on their french fries.
Yeah, yeah.
They're fucking so good though,
aren't they?
The fries
they're so good.
And they're so good at like 2:30 in the morning.
Well, that's similar to Walmart in that everyone leaving a McDonald's, I notice, has the same limp. They're all
and
like
the same
walking
oxygen
out.
Tank.
Just it's kind of the sugar in my ankle is making me limp again type of a.
It's a brilliant business structure. Like I've discussed McDonald's at length with people and how it's the only food. I don't know if you've noticed this, but I certainly have. You can pull it apart with your tongue. You can pull a McDonald's cheeseburger apart with your tongue, and it's like, here you go. Anybody at any age with any amount of teeth can eat this, and it's still delicious.
And it always tastes exactly the same.
Exactly the same.
It's the Starbucks thing. Yeah. It's why Starbucks is so popular. People just want to know what they're going to get so they can make the informed decision of like, okay, here's $5. I'm going to get that exact same cheeseburger every time.
And you know what? I'll say this.
laughing at this is a vision of someone's tongue out and using it as a cutting tool. I guess you'd put a burger there and then stick
your could like gum it. You could like rip it off and gum it and then like pull it apart.
That's so funny though.
I always say it's cartoon food. It literally looks like the hamburgers like that Wimpy eats in Popeye.
Or in a cartoon, I always was jealous when they like take a bite out of chicken and they just bit far enough into the drumstick that they would have hit bone, but it's cartoon, so it's just a thing
all meat,
a chicken handle.
That's why I always get the turkey leg at Disneyland. That's what that's like. That's huge turkey leg.
The visual of people walking around with a huge turkey leg is so hilarious.
It feels powerful, though. Yeah. It's like when you have a turkey leg that size, you feel like you could.
I'm Henry VIII.
Send someone to death.
So, yeah. It's so good.
Your
it's
wife.
Like smoked.
Yeah. It's like, you have wronged me. Kill him. And they just kill a court jester.
Here's the other genius thing about McDonald's. You can't recreate it. You could sit home all day and try to make a quarter pounder. It will never taste like a quarter pounder.
Right.
You can recreate a Whopper. I don't like a Whopper.
Sure.
I'm not shitting on the Whopper, but you could recreate something that tastes sort of like a Whopper at your house. Like enough like it where you'd be like, okay. But if you want a quarter pounder or a Big Mac, you better go get a quarter pounder or a Big Mac.
You better get a degree in chemistry because the shit on there is like, it's like different ways. They've invented new versions of MSG, essentially.
Yeah, yeah, they had. There's like scientific measurements.
I mean, it's...
There is a video from Canada. I don't know if it stands for all McDonald's, but they're like, oh, pink slime, eh? Here's how we make the McNuggets. And they like take you through every step and it's all like regular stuff. And you're like, okay, that doesn't look so bad. But, I mean, maybe it's fake or maybe it's just in Canada that's how they do it.
Yeah, because in Canada, they care about people's health.
Yeah, they're up front. They're like, hey, you want some cigarettes? Well, here's a picture of a burnt baby on the side that was burnt, smoldering within its mother. It just came out burnt. Their cigarettes are very powerful.
Yeah, I mean, I never understood the burnt baby thing.
Yeah, that were
the... the hell is happening with the... I don't get that one.
Is it just, like, the visual supposed to upset you enough to not want to smoke?
Yeah.
It's like if you smoke, this can happen to your baby, and it's like a black...
Yeah, yeah, charred.
Like, I'm not like making charred, that up, right?
I've never seen it.
Yeah, they... In Canada, they... And it is half the carton. They're like, they have to, and it was the same with their chew, which I, unfortunately, sometimes I chew. There's a line, and half of it is like, Marlboro, cigarettes, enjoy it. And then there's a picture of a lung that's just shriveled.
Wow.
And it's a huge ad for cancer.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it is. I still bought them. It didn't affect.
Yeah, I used to love that Dennis Leary joke where he talked about how they would do that. And he was like, let me tell you something, folks. You could have cigarettes called tumors.
That's right. You need the thing that's in them. It doesn't matter what's on the packaging.
I wonder if Dennis Leary still smokes.
I don't know if he does.
I wonder if Andrew Dice Clay still smokes over his own head.
I wonder if he's still, if his arm, you know, now that he's become kind of a fatter guy, if his arm is still able to do that.
He quit smoking because his hand couldn't reach his mouth anymore. Over his ear.
He was doing a thing for a while where he was like on stage with like an unlit cigarette.
Oh,
I would love to see him at the Comedy Store like tonight just vaping on stage with a vaporizer.
It's very modern.
It
did bum me out. It's like, yeah, it's not. It's like, ooh, Ice Cube, June 27th at the Staples Center.
Aw, shit, want to go y'all.
To that? I would love to go to that.
I love him so much.
I love him, too. He looks furious in that picture.
I used to have dreams about him coming and rescuing me in weird places all the time. It was very strange.
That's amazing.
That's weird.
It was pretty cool. One time I was on the side of a cliff. And then he just, like, swung in, I think, on a helicopter. It's the best.
Really?
Was he angry?
Yes.
He's like, get in here, girl. And I was like, yes. Yes, I will.
Why are you not talking about that on stage?
I want to keep some things to myself.
Will you write a song about how Ice Cube is always saving you?
One time it was in the ocean.
Yeah.
Kind of nothing better, that idea of someone saving you, but not treating you like a victim, like almost like giving you a hard time as they're rescuing.
I'm gonna write that song with you.
Okay.
You can have like the different dream scenarios, and then it's easy. You can just use some of his lyrics.
I didn't have to use my AK. Ice Cube came.
You
to
could
pick
go
me.
Hacky with it, but I was thinking more.
That's so mean.
That was one of the few times where I get a little jabby. That's not usually my style.
Yeah, you almost never do that.
And I always apologize.
And I can take it.
But come on.
Does anybody else always think this guy with the violin on the side of the orchestra thing is Tom Green? Every time I drive by, I'm like, why is there a huge picture of Tom Green?
Or a young Yakov Smirnoff?
Yeah, yes, that too.
Yeah.
Now, that's so funny and perfect, the idea of Ice Cube rescuing you. That's so funny. Perfect. You have to do it. And you're right. It's what makes Indiana Jones so great, is because he's, like, yelling at the girl.
Yeah.
Like, come on!
Yes. Yeah. It's those people, it's like, there's nothing hotter than people who don't have time for your bullshit. That's, like, the best... That's the best.
And that's Ice Cube's thing. He does not, even if it's a family comedy.
Oh, my favorite.
And he's rowing in a river with his family. Are we there yet? Movie like that.
He's still mad
at his kid in a loving way.
The power triangle.
Still doesn't
under
have
his
time
eye.
For that shit.
Go ahead.
Oh, I just was going to say, my favorite thing ever is he was being interviewed on Craig Ferguson. That's how long ago it was. And Craig Ferguson first asked him if he knew where Michael Jackson lived. First made him watch video of Craig Ferguson doing layups, which is one of the lamest things I've ever seen. It wasn't for a joke. It was like, check this out. And then it was just like, threw to tape of him doing layups.
He played basketball in Montana.
The second thing he did was ask... Ice Cube's like, what do you think of that? And Ice Cube's like, just kind of shrugged. And then they kept on talking, and then he was like, Michael Jackson. He's like, where do you live? And he said West Hills or wherever he lives. He goes, yeah, doesn't Michael Jackson live out there? And Ice Cube goes, man, I don't know. And he was like super pissed. It was it made me so fucking happy. He just like yelled at his interviewer.
That's amazing. Did you ever see the Jiminy Glick Ice Cube?
Oh, I want to.
No. I didn't know that.
It's probably my favorite Jiminy Glick.
Oh, I have to see that.
he goes, you put on this tough guy image. I came in the green room before the interview. You were doing pliettes in there. And he goes, and you insisted on the dance bar. There had to be.
Was Ice Cube just staring at him?
He was in on the joke, and he was like, he was playing it like as if it was like making him angry, but you could tell he thought it was funny. Yeah. Like he wasn't actually angry.
I love that show.
He
so did much.
When I was on Conan, he was the guy. It was like Wayne Gretzky. Everyone was all excited about, but Ice Cube was there, and that's what I was excited about.
Yeah,
and he had the green room right next. You know, you have your little waiting rooms. And I really wanted to meet him. I didn't realize until he walked in. I, like, started rocking back and forth. And I was like, okay, I'm going to. And he just looked at me, and I saw those eyebrows, and I just turned around. I was scared of him. He's scary.
I'd love to meet Ice Cube.
Yeah, I know, and I fucked it up.
I met Ice-T.
Oh, how was that?
Oh, you can say your thing first.
I was just going to say, it's every time I've ever met someone I actually really wanted to meet, it was so insanely disappointing.
Yeah.
That it put me off. I like celebrities from afar.
Yeah.
I think it's better. You get to keep all your illusions, and you don't have to see them be a douchebag, which is usually what they do.
Ice-T lived up to it, I will say.
I
was really high. I was in college. I was an aspiring rapper.
Oh, were you really?
I wanted to be a rapper, and I went to see him. We did like a college circuit tour where he spoke the colleges, and it was awesome. He was awesome at it because he like came out and he was like, let me tell y'all right now two things. If you're offended by words like shit, pussy, fuck, bitch, dick, get the fuck out right now. That was his opening thing.
And then he were like standing ovation.
Yeah, and then he like broke down why none of those words are curse words, and he had a great argument, and he got this applause break, I remember. And then he was like, and do me a favor, when you write your review in the paper tomorrow, don't fucking say I was well-spoken. Because what you're saying is I was well-spoken for a black man. Fuck you. Yeah. Like, he was so just like, this is what I'm doing. Uh-huh. Go fuck yourselves. And then he just told, like, awesome stories about like, his coming up in, like, gangs and, like, his years as like a pimp and, like, getting into the record industry, getting out of jail, like, going to the army. And then, like, all these opinions and social commentary things and blah 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 blah. But anyway, I wanted to meet him since I was a kid because he made me want to be a rapper when I was in like sixth grade. So I had to run around the whole building afterwards to find him because they were like trying to get him out like quietly. I finally found him. I was really high, and all these guys were giving him like demo tapes and stuff.
Oh no. Oh no. Like, makes me cringe. Oh god.
You know, he was being accommodating, like, you know, but like he just like finally like turned to me and like looked at me, and he's like, what's up, man? And I was like shaking. I swear to god, I was almost crying. I was so like worked up because I'd waited literally like fucking over 10 years to meet the guy.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not going to give you a demo tape or anything. I don't want your help with anything. I just want you to know that your Power album changed my life, and you're the reason that I want to be a musician, man. Thank you so much. And he shook his head and he goes, that's what's up. Do it, man. Get out there and bang some fucking heads, man. And I was like, okay. And he's like, all right.
Yeah.
Bang some fucking heads.
Yeah.
And then he turned to this other guy and he was like, we're trying to hit a strip club. You guys know where a strip club is?
Oh, that's the best. And that's the night he met Coco.
As a single tear of joy rolls down Joe DeRosa's cheek.
That was back when, like, something, I was, I don't know, 20 or 21. I mean, that was back when something like that could keep you high for, like,
hell yeah,
a week.
Was that pre or post, probably post, body count?
It was way after.
I held body count again. I was really excited for body count, but I don't know. I wasn't into it. Sorry.
I love the first body count record.
And it's the one, Cop Killer!
Yeah.
Tonight we get even. Cop Killer!
You know, with the risk of sounding provocative or whatever, I think if you listen to Cop Killer as a song from the standpoint of not somebody saying, let's go kill cops, which is not what the song is about.
Right.
But from the standpoint of somebody, like a protest song from somebody that grew up in the projects, talking about, like, I'm tired of, like, getting the shit kicked out of me.
Right.
You know, suddenly in that light, it becomes, like, this, like, black flag
Yeah.
Like, awesome. Like, okay. I love that fucking song.
I'll listen to it again.
I have family that are cops.
I don't have the cassette tape. I don't know how I'll play it, but I need to get a tape player.
Yeah, if you listen to it with half an open mind, it's so obvious he's talking about corrupt cop. Like,
That was
like one of those things where people turned it into...
Well, it's just hard not to compare it to the fact that he plays a cop on TV now, so that in my memory of it, it's like contradictory,
I think it was the same time as like the Tipper Gore parental guidance bullshit, where they started getting really like, we've got to crack down.
She single-handedly ruined hip-hop for me. I loved murder rap.
You loved what?
Murder rap, like the Ghetto Boys and everything, where they graphically talked about not just kill, they talked about stabbing people, like horror movie type killing.
Yeah, they have a song called Mind of a Lunatic where they talk about corpse fucking in it. And I'm like, these guys have taken it all the way.
Yeah, I don't know what part of Houston they live where it's okay for a midget to murder children because he's the same height as him. On Halloween of all nights.
Are you serious?
But yeah, there's a whole rap song where
I want to cover that.
Yeah,
Mind Playing Tricks on Me. Bushwick Bill talks about like his whole verse in the song is about how he went out and robbed kids for candy on Halloween.
Robbing like grown kids men. For bags.
And then he talks about how one of their dads comes after them to be like, "You're fucking with children, stop it." And he's like, and then we beat the shit out of the dad.
Oh, no.
And then he's like, I came to and nobody was there with me and I was punching concrete and it wasn't even close to Halloween and my mind's playing tricks on me. It's all about like the song about being like delusional.
I like him when he goes, "A murder contest, you know I'll win it because in every mailbox there'll be a head with a knife in it." Now you're really putting out a message there. If you're decapitating people, leaving the knife, putting it in a mailbox, putting the flag up.
Let's talk.
That you won the murder contest.
Can we talk my favorite Ghetto Boys lyrics?
Yes, please.
Bushwick Bill has a song called Size Ain't Shit, where he goes, "Contestant number one, come on down, because you ain't winning shit but a root canal."
Ooh. Oh, I hate those.
"When I throw a motherfucking right cross and bust you dead in your goddamn mouth." That's a great my favorite Ghetto Boys lyric of all time. Fair warning, I'm going to say the N-word right now, but I'm just quoting the lyric.
It's a song.
So that's fair.
And put an A at the end.
I will.
So we know for sure.
I will. There's a Ghetto Boys song called Read These Nikes about it's a Willie D's solo song where he talks about when he beats somebody down, he makes them read his Nikes. By stomping their head. And it's the greatest rap lyric of all time. He goes, "From the hardest to the softest, for me to beat a nigga down is a day at the office." And I was like, that's the most brilliant line I've ever heard in my life. Like,
see, they have
just
good
picturing
ones.
Him rolling up his sleeves.
I like the cartoonish ones that barely make sense. At one point, Bushwick goes, "Dead heads and frog legs, cake mix."
Yeah,
I know. So he's so badass that the dead heads again. It's dead heads. I think it's right after the mailbox lyric.
That's from Chucky. Both those. Lines are from Chucky.
I guess I really like that. And then they use samples of Chucky the doll from Child's Play and children screaming. It's a whole song about the worst thing you can do is let me. Like, babysit your kids. I'll teach them how to act. And if they ain't acting right, they're dying tonight. Ain't no use in you trying to stop it.
He's got a song on their third album, or on their fourth album called, or fifth album, I forget what number it is, but they have an album called Till Death Do Us Part. And there's a Bushwick solo song on that called Murder Avenue. And it's just like really, really graphic murder stuff. And then at the end of it, he's like, don't get mad at the product. This is a work of art. Get mad at the inspiration. This was inspired by Jeffrey Dahmer. And like he says that at the end, like, to be like, so it's cool.
Really?
Yeah, that's right. It's not me. It's him. He's the one that did it. I'm just talking about it.
He speaks. He has a disclaimer at the end of the song.
Yeah, he and it doesn't come. It doesn't sound like he's saying a disclaimer, but he's like, it's clearly like his way of just being like, look, don't give me any shit about this song.
He probably did that because of Tipper Gore.
But I'm still a huge Ghetto Boys fan. Like
when
they got back together a few years back, I was really excited.
I also am as well. Yeah.
Willie D follows me on Twitter, and it was like one of the greatest days of my life. He does an advice column for Vice now.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
He's
like, it's for real, like a Dear Abby, like fucking.
That's great. Yeah, that's my. I wasn't that into Andrew WK, but I love that he does that. He like gets passionately people write him letters, and I'm like, I'm 15, and I'm having this problem, and he gets way into it and writes these long, aww, or the ones that you end up reading. Who knows if he does it all damn day.
But he, like, helps people.
I like, yeah, he's like a motivational.
Is he like a straight edge part, like, life is my high, or does he party?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I think he parties. I think he drinks.
Yeah.
He must, right?
Well, certainly during that album, I think that the Bloody Nose picture was from, like, partying and being drunk and fighting.
I did a Fox News show with him once. He was really nice.
Oh, that red eye thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I met the guy from GWAR before he died on there. I met the guy from the Vandals. I met a lot of musicians
on that
show.
Yeah, that Odorous Ungus. He was I worked on a show called The Daily Habit on Fuel, and he's on panel, and he was wearing his costume, and it's hard to wash that, I guess. It's just like rubber-coated foam, but it's like a space suit, and he's a monster. But his real human testicle was just hanging out during the whole panel. And I swear I could specifically smell that.
No.
His suit smelled in general like BO, but his nut was there. And I'm talking about a guy who died, so I'm not making light of his life or his death.
No, just the facts.
But his nut, I've never seen a testicle hang that low. I've never seen a person so relaxed. Like, it was hanging out, and I was looking at it. And I realized he has to know. It was just like resting on the stool he was sitting on. He just didn't give a fuck. And that
guy
was
so
fucking
great.
Funny. Yeah.
His nut was out.
That's so
pretty
fucking
cool.
Funny. He got up, after he did his interview on Red Eye, he got up and there was blood speckled all on the desk where he was sitting that I believe had come from his mouth.
Jesus.
I don't know what that was from. Again, he did die. I'm not, if it was related to his sickness, I'm not trying to be
shitty
about that.
Yeah.
But
oh, yeah, that's awful,
yeah. I kind of took it more like he probably just had bleeding gums. Yeah,
he's a rock monster, yeah. He's going to bleed. He's going to have his nuts out. He's a monster. He was a monster. But he was so funny. He was quick.
He's hilarious.
It was like a panel thing. You watch videos and he wrote written jokes for it. Like, he didn't have to use our jokes. That was rare that even comics would show up with their jokes written. Kind of like At Midnight. They have writers, and they're like, here's the jokes. And they're like, well, I'll do that joke. It's better than what I wrote. They said, my friends work on that. They said, rarely do comics even use their own jokes. I thought I'd bring it all to a screeching halt by making it real and personal. But, yeah, Odorous Ungus.
Well, I love the people that watch, like, I like At Midnight, but I love the fact that there are fans out there watching it that are like, they are coming up with this right then and there. These people are so funny. It's
even people in my family, like my dad, it's amazing.
Yes.
Yeah, this place, it's an art thing. And then she's adding art to their art.
Oh, I see.
These fucking dipshits have been out here in droves taking pictures. And every fucking moron, like that girl that was just dancing, thinks they're the first person to do like some kind of like video or like picture in front of it. It's like, asshole, you're all going to release your spreads in like a week and they're all going to be the same.
It's funny, it's true, because I took a picture of that when I saw it one night leaving El Cid, and I said, look at that, someone whitewashed that whole building, including the trees. In L.A., on Sunset, there's this, it looks like it used to be a hotel or an apartment building. It's been abandoned for like 15 years. And someone with a Christmas tree flocking or something like that. I know it. They didn't paint the palm trees, because for a while I was like, that's kind of fucked up. You killed a bunch of palm trees. But it's all white. And it's an art installation. But that night I took a picture and I put it on Instagram. And I'm like, this is going to get some thumbs, some hearts. And everyone, the entire Instagram feed was everyone else taking pictures of it too. So now,
and it's been there that long?
Yeah, it's been a few weeks of it. Yeah, but, and now everyone's doing, she was doing a dance for her demo
reel. I thought it was
just
like a, you know what, why would I fall for that? No one's ever doing anything cool independently of some, like, they're about to post this somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, exactly.
I just thought we drove by a girl doing a cool dance, but of course not.
No, it's all shit in this town.
Well, I'm that way too. It's like, oh, we should go do this. I think of a funny thing, and I'm like, well, we're gonna film it, right? I'm not just gonna do that.
Yeah, I'm not just gonna
for
waste
my memory.
I'm not wasting my time.
I'm not gonna remember that if I did it anyway.
Guys, this was so fun.
Joe, we just pulled up in front of your house. Do you have anything to plug?
That was perfect.
This week, this gets posted tomorrow.
Well, my podcast, Down with Joe DeRosa.
If you don't quit,
keep doing it. Listen to that. Subscribe to
listen
that.
Listen to it now. While
on All
you
Things
can.
Comedy.
Yeah, I'll be on All Things Comedy. I'll be at Houston at the. I mean, I'm sorry. I'll be in Toronto at the Comedy Bar this Saturday and Sunday, and then I'll be in Houston the following weekend at the Improv. So come out for that stuff.
Yeah, that sounds sounds great.
We have Can I Kick It monthly, hip hop review comedy show with Al Jackson, Tone Bell, and myself at the Meltdown once a month. So next one's June.
Nice.
I guess that's it.
You should try and get the Ghetto Boys to go to your show in Houston.
Is that where they're from?
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're from Fifth Ward. Scarface still lives there.
Invite Scarface. Oh, wait, I have to move because this hideous Porsche Cayenne.
Oh, well, because that's the new Scientology building. I'm not kidding.
Oh, am I going to hit that car?
No.
That's what that is. That's what this massive structure
really?
Is.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
They built the new one right near the old one.
Oh,
it's
wow.
Like, I don't understand.
You're going to be across the street from them?
Yeah, I'm right across the street. Anyway, my new scale came in the mail, and I'm excited about it, which tells you about where I'm at in life. Excited to get inside and try it.
I feel the same. I need to get a mirror for the same reason. I'm like, I've let myself go. I'm never looking at myself.
It's nice to have a good scale. I like a good scale.
Joe, you're great.
Joe, you're the best.
Yeah, thanks.
This was fun. You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride? DYNAR!